Hey, we're starting the Mishnah, the bottom of Mem Dalet, Amud Bet. The Mishnah states, Shur Shuhu Yotzei Sakel. And so Shur is going to have to be stone. V'Hikdishor Balav Enu Mukdash. And its owners try to be Makdish, it doesn't do anything. Shachato, they try to shecht at that point, but Saro Asur. Its flesh, its meat is Asur. V'Imach Lo Nigmar, you know, but if they do this prior to the Nigmar, then desire the finalization of the judgment. Hikdisho balav mukdash. If it's makdish, it is successful. And shachato basaro basaro mutar v'shech, that its meat is available. Masaro l'shomer chinam u'lisho el u'nitzo tzechar l'sorcher. So the arba shomrim, the four different types of shomrim, nichnusu tachat abalim. They become, or they stand in place of the balim. Mu'ad b'shalem nezek shalem v'tam b'shalem chatzi nezek. Right now, Tan Rabbanan. So you have a braisa that basically goes through what our Mishnah says, just little more explicit here. So talking about a short shehimit, achlonig mardino, the short that killed prior to its judgment being finalized, machro machur. If you sell it, right, then it is sold. Rashi says in terms of the radio, as in terms of it's for plowing. If you sold it to plow, then it's a good sale. Because then the animal is available to do what it was supposed to do in terms of plowing. And because you could argue in terms of the sale that there was a mekach ta'ut, right? Because he sold him an animal that's going to eventually be put to death. So what type of sale is this? So Rashi says, though, the sale is for the Rajah's plow. So the animal can accomplish the plowing before it's put to death, and therefore it could be a valid sale. That's how Rashi deals with it here.
Tosfos. There's no focus whether he can do the chatzilah or he just.
Right, we had that Gemara earlier. Right, but now Tosfos over here quotes Rashi, and then Rabbeinu Tam, who has a different Pshat, talks about a sugi or an issue that Rabbeinu Tam has somewhere else, that during its lifetime, before the Gemara did, it never becomes a sur. Nevertheless, a person can't hold an animal around. I mean, that even though there's no issur on the animal itself, nevertheless, to have the animal stay around when it's supposed to be chayv mitzah, the quote-unquote la'anot dino, right? There's a restriction against, for a person that's supposed to be brought to judgment, there's a restriction against delaying their outcome or delaying their judgment, right? The inu yihadin. So same thing here, by an animal, it can't be anot dino. Right? And he says, he also quotes, tells us, madura achat b'perish Rashi. In another version of Rashi explains, that machro machor, it's sold. Why? Because darmalei mokar ayelachal shofto. You should have shechted it right away. Came in shiadata sharag. You know that it was this animal was on death row, right? So when I sold it to you, you should have shechted it right away. Came in shiadata sharag. But who? Datsat anafshech. Lo havi mekach talut. So as long as the buyer is aware that it's on death row, then the buyer is on the hook, in a sense, because he could have solved the problem by shechting the animal. The fact that he kept it alive is his own loss, that he's the one who actually caused the loss. Hekdisho mukdash. If he's makdish, it is mukdash, meaning that the kedusha is took place by it. And shachato basaro mutar. And if he shechts it, the basar is mutar at this point, and it can be eaten. Hekziro. If he returns it, chaziro shomar the beit balav mukzar. If one of the Arba Shomrim was in charge of this animal, and prior to its Gemar Din, he returns it to its owners, it's considered as if they returned it. Meaning that he gave him back a shore that he had borrowed. The same shore he borrowed, he gave him back. Mishin Nigmar Dino, on the other hand, once the Gemar Din is put into effect, Machro and Machur, he sells it, there is no sale, because it's already, it's already now Chayav Miso. Hikdisho and Mukdash, because he no longer owns it, because it's an Isur Hanah. Since it's one of these three, right? It's not longer in his reshut, and if it's not in your reshut, you don't have the ability to be makdishit. Shachato basaro asur. If he shechted it, his basar is asur, and that's what we've seen in the Gemara earlier, balashur naki, right? That not only is it a nevela, but it's also asur beth hana'ah. Hegziro shomer the beit balav, enu mukzar. Now, at this point, if the shomer hands back his shore to the ba'alim, it's not considered returned at this point. So Rabbi Yaakov Amir, Apshim Nigmar Dino, if Zero Shomer the Balav Muyusar. That even if the Shomer returns it at this point in time, he can say, listen, I borrowed a shore, I returned a shore. True, Sure, it doesn't look, you know, it doesn't have the same status anymore, but it's the same. I gave you a full live animal back that you lent to me, and that's fine. So, let's say this is what they argue about the Chachamim and Rabbi Yaakov. The Rabbanon don't say when it comes to Yisurei Hano, right? The classic example of this would be Chametz Shervalov of Pesach. If Chametz that was with a Shomer over Pesach, it now becomes Chametz Shervalov of Pesach, which is a Sur, and he now wants to give that Chametz back to the person who lent him the Chametz, or he's watching it for it, so he hands it back to him, and he says, Ari Shal Chal Panecha, this is your Chametz, go ahead, take it. Right, it's going to come into play in a second. Very good. So Rabbanan said, "Amar mi bitzurei na arishol chal panecha." Rabbi Yaakov Tavar Amar mi bitzurei na arishol chal panecha. And Rabbi Yaakov disagrees and says, "No, you can't say. Listen, here's your chametz back." True, that it doesn't say Rabbi. No, but it looks exactly like the chametz that you handed me. I'm handing you back the same chametz. So Amar Rabbah. Rabbah says, "No." So Kulei Alma Omrim bitzurei na arishol chal panecha. Bitzurei na. Everybody agrees that we say arishol chal panecha. The impain, right? Because if there was an argument about harishol chal panecha, niflog the inyan chametz b'pesach. They should have argued about it chametz b'pesach. Why argue about our case over here? Our case over here is a convoluted way to argue about this issue. Argue straight out about the issue by chametz b'pesach. Ella, hafav v'gomrim dino shel shor shelo b'fanav kamitzlegeh. Right? Then here we're arguing about whether they were gomer the din. You can be gomer the din of a shor in front of him or not. What I'll do now is I'll read the Gemara down to the two dots, and then we'll come back and discuss. Rashi and Tosfos have different ways of explaining this sequence of events in the Gemara, and we'll come back and look at it. So let's just get through the Gemara, so we have a good understanding of the Gemara. So now the Gemara says, no, the Rabbanan Tavre ain't gomrim dino shel shor elo b'panav. You can only do a Gemara din before the shor. Damalei, ihadrate nihalei, had you returned it to me, the owner can say, had you returned the shor to me, I would have thrown it out into the agam. Right now, again, this is the type of answer we saw before. Right, that now you gave my shore over to the basin, who I can't do anything about. So I've lost my ability to either negotiate right with the other baldin, or I've lost my ability to sneak it away before it had a gemar din. So you have actually caused me a loss. Rabbi Yaakov Savar, on the other hand, Rabbi Yaakov Savar Gomrim Din Shel Dino Shel Shor Shel Defanav. That you can have a Gemara Din, you can have a Din in the absentia, right? When you have absentia, you have the ability to, without the Shor standing in front of us, to have a complete Gemara Din. So it's irrelevant whether the Shor is present or not present. So the fact that you gave it over to the Beis Din has really no impact. Because even had you not handed it over to the basin, basin would have gone ahead and done the gemar din. Damalei, so migmar hava gemar lei the dinah. The din would have been executed right with or without the presence of the shor. So my time is the rabbanon. What's the reason of the rabbanon? It says the shor yistakel, the gam balav you must. The shor is stoned and the owner is that. Kemita tavalim kachemita tashor. Right, this principle that we've established in many places. Just like the mita of the balim, so is mita of the shor. Ma balim bifnehem, ashor bifanav. Just like balim, when it comes to a human, the gemar din can only be done in front of them. So to by shor, he's entitled to that same privilege of having the gemar din only while he is present in Beis Din. On the other hand, Rabbi Yaakov says, bishlamo balim b'nei tana ninu. Listen, why does the gemar din have to be in front of the person who is being judged over here? That's because he is a ben ta'ana, which means he has the ability to make claims, or counterclaims, or defend himself, right? He has the right, right, to be present when people are making claims against him. That makes sense when you're talking about a human being. Oh, sure, bar ta'anatu. What type of demonstration is the shor going to make here that is going to improve our ability to understand the gemar din, or what type of ta'ana is he going to make on behalf? So therefore, Yaakov says, right, and ochanami, you can make such a hekesh. And I don't necessarily disagree with that case. Just it has to be relevant over here. It's just not relevant that the shor be present at this time. Right now, let's look at Rashi. This is Rashi's important. Rashi explains, what does it mean that the Gemara said they should have argued in Chomet, and everybody agrees by Yisurayana, Reisho Chalafanecha. Whereas our case over here is different. Because our case here has to do with Basin. Whether you should have given it to Basin or not given it to Basin. What exactly is the difference over here. So if you look in Rashi, it's about if you look in the Gemara, you see in where it says in the Gemara, Amar Rabba, the Kuli Amar Omri Bisri and Arish Ochol Panechav, near the Aleph of the Ein Mishpat. If you look to the right there, right in Rashi, it says Ella. The last word on the line is Ella. Ella, the Kuli Amar Rinan, everybody agrees, Bisri and Ar, Arish Ochol Panechav, Hecha di Isura Memela Atile. This is very important. Rashi says, when does everybody agree to this principle of Arish Ochol Panechav? That's when the Isura comes without any input or action on behalf of the shomer here, or on behalf of the one that is holding the item. So when there are things like Kigon Chametz B'Pesach, the Lo Mati Armele Lav Miteihu Hava. Right, you can't say, wait, this is nothing. The owner can't say nothing. This is nothing. No, you can say, this is your Chametz back the way you gave it to me. Why did it become a sur? Well, it became a sur, nothing to do with me. That has to do with the fact that Pesach came. Pesach is something independent of any action that I took. And therefore, everybody agrees you can make a claim over Eish Alcha Panecha. Aval, Hocho. In our case, over here, Meshuch Amma Achi Amma Yerubanun, Enu Mukhzar. Rabbanun disagree and say it's not deterrent. Why is that? Darmaleya Tatsatei Lutorai. Behezeka Biyadayimu. It's Hezek Biyadayim. Why? Sheviyo Lebezina. You brought it to the basin. The fact that you brought it to the basin now has changed the status of this animal. Why? Because Rabbanun believed that the animal has to be present to the basin to have a Gemar Din. Now, had you not brought this animal to Beis Din, there would have been no Gemar Din. Your action or your activity in bringing it to the Beis Din is what's causing it to now become Asur. If that's the case, you're no longer entitled to make a claim of Haresh Ocha Lefanecha. I did not cut Iadrisse Nialei. So now, Rashi makes the point that way. That's not exactly what the Gemara says. The Gemara says that the claim of the owner is that had you returned it to me, I would have thrown it out into the Agam, and they would not have been able to get a hold of it. So it sounds like the reason Harish Ochal and Fanecha doesn't apply over here is because the Rabbanim said the owner had a claim that I could have done something to protect myself and you didn't do it. That's why it doesn't work. He owes him the money. I said it's not really the case. The real issue, the Mokeid, the Ikar difference between when you can say Harish Ochal Fanecha and when you cannot say it is whether the Isser comes Memela without your input, the Isser would have come, or whether because of your action that's what caused the Isser to come. Like here, where you took it to basin. Ah, what did he say over here? That's not to teach you that that's the reason, right? The Lo Hadrehu, right? Because that's not the reason you're Chayav over here, is because you didn't return it to him and you could have thrown it away. Because he says, Pesach, you can make the same claim. Had you brought me the Chametz before Pesach, I would have been able to do something with it. Now that you brought it to me after Pesach, I can't. Right? So that can't be the issue at hand here. So he says, oh, the Rabbi Yaakov Nami. Right, even though we can say that you can be gomer the din of a shor b'fanav, name alei yadret and alei avishkach pinalei. Says by Rabbi Yaakov, you really believe that the issue is whether the owner could have done something. Then even by Rabbi Yaakov, he could have shechted it beforehand, and then he also has a valid claim. Then that cannot be the issue between the chachamim and Rabbi Yaakov, is what the owner could have done. That's not the issue. The issue is ella as lo hadret lo mechayev le rabbanan. It's not the fact that he didn't return it is what makes you chayav. The hakim hadalei. Now he's returning it to him. Ashto. Armina bisurei and arish ochal panecha. And in general, when it comes to bisurei, now he's arish ochal panecha. If that was the issue of returning, I'm returning it to you now. El chiyuvei mishum dalichu the beis din biyadayim. It has to do with whether he took it to beis din, right, by yadayim. And now when the gemara comes and says sof. Migmar Hava Gemar Mlezina, according to Rabbi Yaakov, according to Rabbi Yaakov, it didn't would have happened with or without you. That means now it's Hezeka B'Meila, and not Hezeka B'Yadayim. That's Rabbi Yaakov's claim. Rabbi Yaakov's claim is it should be like Chometz B'Pesach, because whether you brought it to Beis Din or didn't bring it to Beis Din, there would have been a Gemar Din. That's an Easter B'Meila.
Tosfos disagrees with the Pshat and Rashi. So, if you look down in the Tosfos, in this first wide line in Tosos, the first wide line down below, as it widens out, second, though there's a wide line in the middle, it says, Vekashu le Perusho. I have a question on Rashi's Pshat here. Dibze ahezek, lo havi hezek nikar, afilo tafzei biyadayim. Right, so Tosos brings up the point that Shaul mentioned before, that the issue seems to be by Chametz B'Pesach, why can I return the Chametz B'Pesach? Because the damage done to the chametz is what's called hezek sheino nikar.
it's not visible damage. As when I hand you back the chametz, it looks like the exact same chametz that you handed me. And therefore, you can say, Harishalcha lefanecha. Tosfos says, according to Rashi, why can't you say the same thing by the shor? The shor looks the same way as it did when you handed it to me. I can say to you, Harishalcha lefanecha. Why does that change the status of it? Harishalcha says, Lo'abi hezek nikar, pigo tafti b'yadayim lo'it chayit. Bimhu nikar. And if you want to suggest that there is hezek nikar when you hand it over to Bezin, I feel tafti b'yadayim me'aleim lam yipater. Then if there's a hezek nikar, why is his handing it over to Bezin have to do anything with the issue if he can return it? Even if Bezin themselves went and took it, now you have an animal that is muzak, nechzak, right, that was nechzak, and it has a hezek that is nikar, then you can't return it to the owners and say, Harishol chalib fanecha. Right, v'chiyal olu shomro, shalib eli tekach, v'od, dimhu patur, shetosim no tome aleyem. If he's really patur when Basin, according to Rashi, if Basin comes and grabs the animal, you'd be patur. Why? Because then the Easter comes memela, and that's the yadayim. So he says, kashe matpis, or shetofsi matpis, otobi yadayim, now be patur. Right, so then when you hand it over, you should also be patur. The soap. I feel lo ya matpis otobi yadayim, maybe tofsi matome yadayim. Because if you didn't hand it to Basin would have come and got it in the end. So what if you're handing it over to Basin do anything? Right? I mean, you hand it over to Basin, or Basin comes and gets it from you. What's the difference? And the Balaam didn't lose out because you handed it to Basin. They lost because Basin made a din. Right, so it has nothing to do with you. Venira Lari. So this is Tosfos explanation over here. Dibit Tapsua Me'elem Nami Chayav. That when you take it, if Basin came and took it, you'd also be Chayav. As opposed to what Rashi distinguishes between active giving and passive. Right, by Chomet and Pesach, you're passive, therefore you can say Arshel Fanecha. By a shore that was taken by Basin, you can say I was passive, and I am Arishal Chalafanecha. Whereas if you're active, you hand it to Basin, that causes a problem. If you hand it to Basin, then you are Biyadayim, it's a Zeka Biyadayim, and then you can't say Arishal Chalafanecha. So it says no. The Reed says that even if Basin came and took it, you'd be Chayav. The difference is in the case here, not in whether it's passive or active. Why is that? Demash Noko Liyad Basin, Kashuv Ezek Nikar. That when it comes into the hands of Basin, that's the equivalent of being hezek nikar. The kevan dal yadei pshia nafala yad beisin mechayav. And because of your pshia, that's why it's now in beisin. Because you didn't watch it properly. The fact that you didn't watch it properly is what generated the fact that beisin is now hanging onto it. When beisin hangs onto it, hezek she nikar. Lo yachol amar hareishol chalafanecha. That you can't say hareishol fanecha kamo chametz bepesach shavala bepesach shu hezek she. Eino nikar. It shows exactly what you were suggesting before, that the issue by chametz is that it's hezek she eino nikar. And since it's hezek she eino nikar, he can say arishol chalafanecha. Whereas when it comes to basin, that is not hezek she eino nikar, that becomes hezek she eino nikar. Yilkaf yolomar sham arishol chalafanecha. Rav Yaakov lo chashiv hezek nikar mashefot no fele ya basin. And that's exactly what Rav Yaakov is arguing over here. That the fact that when it goes to basin, that is not considered hezek nikar. Why? Because you know. Kevin da afilu lo bali adam, hayu gomrim et dino. Since even if the shore never showed up in Basin, it still would have been going to Dim and Nimsa. Sheino Mapsida Yidei Shabali Adam. You realize that just because it ended up in Basin, that's not what caused the loss of here. Elokeilu Gamrodino Shlo Bifanav HaKashiv. It's as if, even if when it does come to Basin, they're going to Dim. But it's equivalent, because had he not been there, they would have been going to Dim anyway. It's equivalent of it not being there. Fishigam Azayan Yatar, Bavi Hezek Sheino Nikar. That's considered Hezek Sheino Nikar. Kach Yechuyamar Arishokha Bifanecha. Right, so now I would just point out, right, the weakness, the obvious weakness in Tosfos Pshat is, do you really see a difference of Hezek Nikar and Hezek Enu Nikar when it comes to a shore between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yaakov, a shore that's in Basin, right? Why is the shore in Basin all of a sudden considered Hezek Nikar? Right, Hezek Nikar generally is to be assumed something that's pogeya in the object itself, like when you talk about Chametz. If your Chametz is burnt, right, it's burnt up, then that's called Hezek Nikar, because there's damage that's obvious and visible to the individual. On the other hand, Hezek She'enu Nikar is something that is, and generally we think of a halakhic issue, right, that is not visible to the eye, right? Over here also, the shuv, right, when it's invasion, what Hezek is visible to the, in the object. So you have to argue, and that's, I think what those are arguing here, is that when it's invasion, right, then it becomes like it's a convict. You know, in some way that it's a... Right, exactly, that it's a known, now it's a known felon in some way, and that is the Hezek Nikar over here, because it's been based in, and it has this shame right, of being a killer shore on it, and that's what makes it a hezek nikar. And that's what Rabbi Yaakov argues on. Rabbi Yaakov argues on that point, saying, wait, it doesn't matter that it went to Beis Din. Even if it had not gone to Beis Din, you could have ended up in this status. And therefore, being in Beis Din is not a hezek nikar. Because even had it not been a Beis Din, and nobody knew it was a killer shore, the Gemara Din would have been executed. And therefore, it's not a hezek nikar. So obviously, for Tosfos, that's the weakness in the pshat. And obviously, Rashi, we spoke about the weakness in Rashi's pshat in terms of Tosfos's questions before, in terms of bringing it via dime or not bringing it via dime, is it a hezek nikar and a nikar? Okay. So now the Gemara, now one of the things, right? That what do you do with the shore tam? That's mazik b'shut shomer, right? Afilu kodem gemar din, you cannot return it. Meaning that over here we're talking about a mushur mu'ad. Right? We're talking about a shore mu'ad that the owner, the one of the shomerim wants to return to the owner. What happens with the shore tam? You have a shore tam. Can, what are all these dinim? Do they apply? Can you return it to the owner and say, Hershel Khalifanecha? And so Tosfos over here makes a statement. It says that in a short time, even before the Gadamar din, you can't say, Hershel Khalifanecha. You know why? It's in the last line. And that Tosfos that we were reading, it's in the last three lines of that Tosfos. It says, the short time, the Mazik Rishut Shomer, Afilu Kodim Gmar din. Even before the Gmar din, Im Yachziru Shomer Lebalim, Lo Yifteru Bekacha, Lo Yifteru Bekacha. He won't be Patur. Why? Came into Mazik Eidei Pshiat Shomer. Because what caused the damage was the Pshia of the Shomer. He didn't watch it properly. Venafal Rishut Nizak. Lachlit lo miyad, right? Rabbi Kiva l'shtabebo, Rabbi Shmuel l'gavot migufo. We had a machlokas early on, Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel. How much ownership does the nizak have in the animal? Whether it's a shibud or real ownership in the animal. But either way, now, according to Tosfos, have a hezek nikar. Hezek nikar because nizak now has possession over the animal. And he gets a shein bavus over the animal over here. And because of that, it's your mufsa, shenapo b'shut achirim, lo yechol amar, shel chal lefanecha, you can no longer say, aray shel chal lefanecha. So Tosfos says, by a tam, right, you can't make such a tam, then by mu'ad, exactly, that tam, you can never say, aray shel chal, because of this issue of gufo. Since it's taking gufo, it's considered quasi, right, mukva, taken already. Meaning, because either, according to, right, Rav Shmuel Akiva, we have the machlokes, either because really the nizak is a partner now, or because the nizak has a directed shibud on this animal. And because of that, it's much worse than the sort of status of a mu'ad. I just wanted to point out the important difference between a tam and a mu'ad here. Alright, now, sorry, continue with the Gemara. Mashal the Shomer Shanam and the Shoel. The Gemara says that you have under the four Shomrim. Tana Rabbanan, Arba, Niknasu, Tachal HaBalim. Any one of these four Shomrim will step in place of Elohim. Elohim, what is that? A Shomer Shanam? Someone who watches without any payment. Veha Shoel, someone who borrows it. Right? The Sitzachar, someone who is paid to watch it. Veha Socher, and someone who rents it. Hago, tamim, right? So if he is killed, and it's a tam, neragim, right? Then the shore gets killed. Buturim in a kofer. The shomrim will be paturim kofer like any owner would have been patur. Muadin, if it's a muad, neragim, then they will be put to shore, will be put to death. Umshalim et a kofer. And the owners, meaning the shomrim here, would have to pay kofer. But yachayavim lakzir to make sure the balad. In any of these instances, if the shore is put to death, the shomrim are chayav to replace the animal. So they gotta pay the owner for the animal that is missing. Chutz mi shomer chinam. The exception to that rule is the shomer chinam. Why? The question is, why by the shomer chinam is the, is there an exception? The other exception to the rule actually would be by a shoel. We'll see that. I'll read the Gemara and then I'll tell you why there's an exception by shoel. Amrei hechidami. What is the case of shomer chinam? Eden atrei. If he watched it properly, afilu kolo nami lives through. If he watched it properly, then why is just the Shomer Chinam putur from paying back the Balim? Any one of the Shomrim would be putur. They did what they were supposed to do. V'idolo natre, if he didn't watch it at all, afilu the Shomer Chinam mechayev. Then he's a pusheya. He's a pusheya. Even the Shomer Chinam is trying to replace it for the Bal. So Amrei Yochov, you know what's the case here? The natre shmira pechuta. He did a normal guarding of the animal. Shmira pechuta, as defined. Again, we've seen this, or mentioned it before, that it's a door that can stand up to normal winds. It's a normal course of putting up a fence around the animal. The low natural shmira mi'ula. And he did not do a great shmira. Why is that? Shomer chinam kalkulo shmira to. By shomer chinam, the obligation of the shomer is only to provide basic shmira. Hanak will kalkulo shmira to. Whereas opposed to that, other shomrim, right, don't have to extend their shmir, that it's not sufficient for them to do a shmirah p'chuta. So Amrei Keman. Alright, now but who are you explaining this Mishnah according to? Or this Brisa according to? Ikir Rabbi Meir. If you explain it according to Rabbi Meir, the Amar, We have a machlokus between the status of a socher. Is a socher, what's the din of a socher? Socher, the Torah never mentions. There are four shomrim, which we just mentioned, the four categories of shomrim. The Torah only mentions three of them. The Torah mentions shoel, the borrower, mentions shomer tzachkar, someone who is guarding for compensation, and a shomer kinam, someone who guards gratis. Right, so those three are mentioned. Problem is, what's the status of the socher? Machlokes, tanaim, whether a socher is a shomer kinam, or a shomer tzachkar. Exactly. So if you hold like this, like Rabbi Meir, that a socher is a shomer kinam, that means litnei chutz mi shomer kinam not socher. And he can't be the author of our brayso. Why? Because he thinks the shomer kinam and socher are the same. So if you have an exception by shomer kinam, that exception should also apply to a socher. Ve'ikar Rabbi Yehuda, or if it's like Rabbi Yehuda, damar socher can also sachar dummy. That he holds that a socher has the status of a renter has the status of a person who guards for compensation. Nitnei chutz mi shomer kinam. Right? Then it should say chutz mi shomer kinam v'chulam. Bimu'adin turin linyan kofir. Right, but when it comes to mu'ad, they should all be patur mi kofir. Why? What's Rabbi Yehuda's position? We had Rabbi Yehuda's position before in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah told us that by mu'ad, you only need a shmira pchuta. Right, that was Rabbi Yehuda's unusual position. That by a tam you needed a shmira ula, but by mu'ad, you only needed a shmira pchuta. If that's the case, then by mu'ad, all the shomrim would be patur because they did what they was necessary of them to make a to provide a shmirah chutah, and that's all that's demanded of them when it is a shor mu'at. So now the Gemara says, "Amar Rav Huna bar Chanina Hamani Rav Elazar." This is the author of this brayt is Rav Elazar. Amar Ein lo shmirah ela sakin. As he's coming up in the upcoming Mishnah, the only way to guard a shor is to kill it. There is no other guarding of a shor. So, Indian socher tavalakit Rabbi Yehuda. And according to by a socher, he holds like Rabbi Yehuda that socher is the din of a nosli socher. Damar nosli socher can nosli socher dami. And therefore, the only exception to the rule is a shomer chinam. So, why is that? So, that's what, if you look in Rashi, this is an important Rashi right across from where we are in the Gemara. There's a Rashi that starts with about three lines, four lines up in the Rashi. According to Rabbi Lezer, if the only way to guard the animal is to kill it, then why is the shomer chinam patur over here? Right? I mean, what did he do that makes him protected against this? So it says, with natre shmir ma'ula, lo mati mukimla, afilu Rabbi Elazar. Right? You don't have to set it up in a case where he did a shmir ma'ula. The opposite of the Indian kofer chayavin. According to Rabbi Elazar, even though for kofer you are chayav if you did not kill it, meaning in any circumstance you're going to be kofer, the segulate shmir ma'ula, lenian demay shor the ba'alim, the obligation to pay back the owners for the shor, turim, da'an atrua. Because they guarded it, might have to lay the man, but what option did this shomer have? Let's think about it, right? I mean, that here, if the owners hand over a shor to a shomer sachar or to a shomer chinam, what could be their demand of the shomer? If you say the only way to guard the animal is to shecht it, what are they doing? You're going to kill the other guy's animal? You can't do that. So the only shmira that you can provide is the maximum shmira, which will either be shmira mu'ulah, right, which would be the best mu'ulah, shmira mu'ulah, which is the best type of shmira. And that's all we demand of you over here. You can do as much as the Balaam could have done in order to, without killing it, to protect it over here. So as long as you've done that, you are patur from repaying the Balaam. By Shomer Chinam, all that's demanded of you is a shmira p'chuta. Therefore, by Shomer Chinam, once you provide a shmira p'chuta, you've done what was demanded of you. Even though you'll be chayav and kofir in all these instances, because the demand to be patur mi kofir means you gotta check the animal, you gotta kill the animal, that's the only way to get out of kofir. There'll be two levels of culpability. Level of culpability when it comes to kofir is, doesn't matter what you do for the shor, you can't get out of the problem paying kofir. On the other hand, right? On the other hand. Except for shomer chinam. It means for repayment. That's not about kofir, that's about repayment to the Balim.
He's saying,
shomer chinam
will still be
chayav kofir. Kofir, right. He'll be chayav kofir, but he will not have to pay the Balim back for the animal that was lost over here. Right? So that's the way Rabbi Lezer's decision is going to work out. But again, there's a difference between kofir and repayment to the Balim. When it comes to kofir, you are always culpable because the only way to be shomer an animal is to kill it. Right? And since it wasn't killed, so you're chayav for the kofir. On the other hand, in terms of obligations to the Balim who handed it to you to watch, your only obligation is as much as you expected by the Balim to do. And that's the Shmira Mu'ulah. The Balim can't expect you to shecht it to watch it, because then you can't return the animal to them. So That's obviously not the expectation. The expectation, the limit on your culpability will be up to Shmir Mulak, except for a Shomer Chinam, where Shmir Pchuta will suffice.
Abaye Amar, the old Olam to Rabbi Meir. No, the original, it's like Rabbi Meir. Uke Demachli for Abba Barabua. But the way Rabbi Barabua later on, it flips the positions. The Tani Shoker Kesad Mishalim. What's the din of a Soker? Rabbi Meir Omer Keshomer Sakhar. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Keshomer Chinam. He flips the positions of Rabbi Meir and then Rabbi Yehuda, and then it will work out well, because then you don't have the problem of Rabbi Yehuda's position in Mu'ad being Shmir Pchuta, because Rabbi Meir holds that you need a Shmir Amu'ah even by a Shor Mu'ad. Amar Abelazar, Amatar Shoro the Shomer Chinam, Hizik, Chayav, Huzak, Patur. If it does damage, right, then you're Chayav. Huzak, if it becomes damaged, you are Patur. Amar Hefi Dami, what's the case here? Either Kabayale, Shmirat Nizakav, right, if the Shomer accepted responsibility for any damages, Afil Huzak Dami, the Chayav. It shouldn't matter whether the animal goes out and damages, whether the animal got damaged. Damages are damages in either direction. If he didn't accept the responsibility for dealing with the Nizakim, I feel it's deep, not only Patur, if he goes out and does damage, he's also be Patur, because he didn't accept that responsibility. No, it's a case where he accepts the responsibility for any damage, that means whether it does damage or gets damaged. And the case here is, the case where we know it's a wild short. It is well known that this guy, he's a bucking bronco. Right, and therefore, when he takes responsibility, it's Dama de Milsa, the laws of Ihu, Umazika Karine. Right? Kabbalah, right? So that, the Stam case here is what? Then when he goes down and does damage, right, that he accepts the responsibility. Date, Karine, Umazki Lei, Lidide, Loazika Date. That other Shvarim will come and damage it, that he could never have thought of. Why not? Why can't he have thought of that? Because this guy is the wild animal. When you're talking about a wild animal, he goes down and does damage. He's not afraid of anyone else. Everybody else is afraid of him. So the expectation is that the animal will not get damaged. So when I accept the responsibility for this bucking bronco, that meant to keep it under wraps, so it doesn't go out into damage. That it should get damaged, that wasn't even on our mind. That wasn't even what we were thinking about, because the whole issue with this animal is that it goes out and does damage. Right, the last thing I'll just point out here before we start the next Mishnah is that by Shoel. As Shoel is chayav even in Unsin. Right, and Shoel is responsible even when there is an onate. And that means that even if you gave a Shmira Milah, and you gave it the best shmirah possible, then that, even if it goes out and then you have to pay kofar, right? You'll also be responsible for paying to the balim, because what you can't say, what should I have done? That's not an answer by the shoel. The shoel, your chayis, even when there is an onet. So even though you did a proper shmirah and it goes out, you will still have to pay the balim. So that's another exception to the rule here, is that a shoel will always be chayav to pay, even in the face of onet. So you could have made the mishnah, you could have set the mishnah, like I said, where everybody is using a shmir mu'ulah. If you did a Shmira Mulah, everybody would be Patur, except for the Shoel, who would be Chayav to repay the Baalim. Alright, next mission. Kashru Baala Vimusira, Vinal Bufanab Kiroi. The Baalim tied it up, put a leash on it, and they closed up in front of it properly. Yasav Hezik, because then it does damage. Echad Tam, Vechad Muav, Chayav. Tam and Muad are to be Chayav, Divrei Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Meir requires you to place a Shmira Mulah, right? An extra grade Shmira. Right? And this, all you did was the basic Shmirah. So Meir says you're Chayav for Tam or Muad. Yehuda Meir, Tam Chayav. Yehuda has the unusual position that by a Tam you have to have a Shmirah Mulah. By a Muad you need a Shmirah Tichuta. Therefore, Tam is going to be Chayav because you didn't do the super duper Shmirah. Whereas a Muad you'll be Patur. Shnever Vilay Shmirah Nubalah Vishamor Huzeh. Because by a Muad it says the Balim did some sort of Shmirah. Right? And he did the Shmirah. That suffices. The Gemara is going to discuss his position. Rav Elazar Omer, Ein lo shmirah, ela sakin. You're always chayav because you can never guard a shor. My time is the Rabbi Meir. What's the position of Rabbi's Meir? Now, the way our Gersa reads over here, I'll read you the Gemara and I'll explain it. The Gesaver, Sam Shvarim, Lam Bechazkut, Shimor Shkaimi. The Rabbi Meir believes this is different than what we talked about before. We talked about before, Pal Ganizka Kansa and Pal Ganizka Mamona. So over there we suggested there's a difference between the one who holds that half nezek is a knas versus half nezek is mamon. That depends on whether stam shvarim are bechazkat shimur. When the Gemara said stam shvarim bechazkat shimur over there, it meant that the shvarim, normal shvarim, are contained. They're ragua, right? They're calm animals. And since they're calm animals, right, we don't have expectations that you watch them until they do, until they make or show a display of active goring. On the other hand, if you say some shvarim, right, aren't in on the chesed shimur, but that meant that shvarim are generally wild, and even in a time you're going to have to watch it. That's what the old definition was. That's what the Gemara meant over here. Over here, when it says some shvarim lab chesed shimur, it's not referring to the shore itself,
but rather to the owners of the shvarim. Right? The owners, do they watch their animals or do they do not watch their animals? Right? That's the difference. So according to this girsa, there is a girsa, I'll just point out, in Rabbi Yehoshua, who flips the position here of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, and if you do that, you can explain them the same way in both places. I'll point it out to you, but just so you're aware of it. Now, Rabbi Meir says, some shvarim, lab chazik shvarim rekmai. Kind of generally, owners do not watch the shvarim, they let them walk while, you know, and they think of them as a dog, and they just say, you know, let them walk around, they're innocuous. Rabbi Rachmana, tam nechayev. So by a tam, your chayav is responsible for what it does. Didn't violate Shmira Pchuta. Right? So what is the Torah demanding of you? Do at least the Shmira Pchuta. Hadar Marchmana, Velo Yishmerena, Gambi Muad. Right? So then by Muad it says, Velo Yishmerena, you didn't watch it. So Gambi Muad, they violate Shmira Mula. So why, if already by time you're Chayav Shmira Pchuta, and by Muad it says, Velo Yishmerena, do another watching, that means that you have to elevate the watching to a level of Shmira Mula. So by Muad, right now what we have is by Muad Shmira Mula. By time you would only need a Shmira Pchuta. Because there is shovel, we saw yesterday, of yigach, yigach, and that teaches us the same din that you had by a muad, you'll apply to a tam, and according to Rabbi Meir, now you will require a shmir mulad by muad and by tam. That's Rabbi Meir's position. Rabbi Yehuda Savar, tam shvarim, b'chazkat shimur kaimei, that generally people watch their animals. They keep them guarded, they keep them under lock. You keep your dog on a leash, you keep it behind a fence, so too by shvarim, they keep them locked up. Amar Rachmana, tam mishalim. Now the Torah says, by a time you're chayav. Why is that? You should have done a much better watching than the normal course of what people do. Then the Torah comes again and says, Leish Shmirana by Muad. How could you go higher than Shmirah Mu'lah? There's no level above that. Gabi Muad, then Abed Leish Shmirah Mu'lah. Have a riboy after riboy. Right? This is a riboy after riboy, which means that I have an inclusionary statement and an additional inclusionary statement that are including the same thing. Vein riboy after riboy, elo lema'eit. When you have a inclusionary statement that are one after the other teaching the same thing, then the second one really comes to be ma'at, they're excluded. Miyata kadub the shmir mu'ula. That would the Torah knock down the shmir mu'ula to the level of what? Shmirat chuta. What's that? That's by the mu'ad. He says, wait, so now why don't you learn like Rabbi Meir, because they're shavar from mu'ad to tam, and a tam should also only require shmir chuta. He says, hi me'at brahmana. The Torah already excluded. Why? It says, lo yishmerena, lezeh, velo acher. That lo yishmerena, the din of lo yishmerena only applies to a muad and to no one else. Not to a tam. Bahami ba'ilei the lach. Alright, it's probably the better gerusa over here. It should be hami ba'ilei the isur. Right, the ba'ilei the gufet. You needed this to teach you the din that a muad only gets shmira pchuta. Right, that the din that it gets shmira pchuta came from lo yishmerena. So how could you make that the din? What's the exclusionary statement? Imkein yechtov rachmanah velo yishmor. My velo yishmeren. Nope. That comes to teach you. Lezeh velo lafkar. It keeps to teach you two things. One, that, number one, a shor mu'ad only requires a shmirah pchuta, because it's a riboy yachar riboy, which is mamayit. Number two is velo yishmeren, who teaches you that only by mu'ad do we say that reduced the level of shmirah, but not by a tam will remain with the requirement of a shmirah me'ula. That's the position reviewed in our Mishnah. Tam requires shmirah mu'ula, mu'ad requires shmirah pchuta. Tanya, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Meir Achad Tam Yachad Muad Shisham Rosh Shmirah Pchuta Patur. Now we have in the third position here, which is Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says Shmirah Pchuta is sufficient in all these cases. My time, what's the reasoning? So you can understand easily why. Sovar Laki Rabbi Yehuda Damar Muad B'Shmirah Pchuta Tzagi Le'yot Laki Rabbi Yehuda that you have a Ribo Yachad Ribo Re'el Elamayet, so a Muad is sufficient with a Shmirah Pchuta. V'yot Nikicha L'Tam Nikicha L'Muad, and then he has the Zerah Shavah of Tam and Muad, and he extends the position of Muad to Tam, and therefore Shmirah Pchuta is sufficient both by Muad and by Tam.
So you just
Right, or he didn't have the meal. Amar Rav Ada Rava, lo patar Rabbi Yehuda el sad ha'adash shibo. And when Rabbi Yehuda comes in patar, we had a position Rabbi Yehuda earlier in the Gemara, which is a muad is really made up of a tam and a muad. Right, so you have a tam, it's made up half tam and half muad. So he says, when Rav Ada says, lo patar Rabbi Yehuda el sad ha'adash shibo, that when a shmir b'chuta is only sufficient for half the animal, that's the sad muad shibo. But the sad tam, which is sad tam was mekomo omedes, that he requires a shmirah mu'ula for. So what will actually turn out? If you do a shmir pchuta by a tam, you're going to be chayav chatzi nezer. If you do a shmir pchuta by a muad, you'll also be chayav chatzi nezer. Right? So, avatad adoshbo. Avatad tamud bimkoma omedet. The tzad tamud stays in its place, and therefore you will still be chayav with a shmir pchuta. So, amarav, mu'ad b'keren yamin, enu mu'ad b'keren tmol. If you're mu'ad for the right horn, you are not Mu'ad for the Karen small. What does this mean? Amri, Alibi Daman. According to whom? I Alibi the Rabbi Meir Amar Echad Tamechad Mu'ad Shmira Mu'lavai. Doesn't matter if you're a Tamar Mu'ad, you require the same amount of guarding. So why does it matter whether it's the right horn or the left horn? You still require Shmira Mu'lavai. Why do you need, according to Rabbi Yehuda, why do you have to come on, why do you have to explain, talk about a right horn and a left horn? Even in the right horn itself, it's half mu'an and half tam. So why do you need to come up with an example of a left horn? It looks like Rabbi Yehuda, the most severe lays of Rav Adar Ba'ava. He doesn't hold the disposition of Rav Adar. That's what he means. Ki ha'af ha'gavna hu'd mishkach ha'beitzad tamut u'mu'edet. He says that's only when you have one horn that's mu'ad, one horn that's tam. That's when you'll have a difference in the payment. Ava mu'ad gamrei. When it becomes mu'ad gamrei, lo mishkachet beit tzad tamut klal. Even Rabbi Yehuda agrees then, even when we say tzad tamut b'mkom ha'meret, that does not extend right to the idea that it will require shmira ma'ula. Once it reaches the level of shmira of mu'ad, the entire animal only requires the shmira p'chuta, not just half the animal. So he disagrees with that position of Rav Adar Ba'ava before that, differentiated Rabbi Yehuda, and says, right, Rabbi Yehuda, you will have right two sides, right, or two parts to the position, right? That will not apply over here because Rav made a statement that Mu'ad the Karen Yamin is Mu'ad the Karen small, and that's the only instance where you'll find Mu'ad in Tam. By a pure Mu'ad, you will not find this concept of half Mu'ad and half Tam over here, right? Tosfos over here mentions, why did they mention the right horn and not the left horn? He says maybe because the right horn is more people, like right-handed people, it's more normal to do things with right hand is stronger. Therefore, if you mu'ad for your right horn, you're not necessarily mu'ad for the left horn. But it's a possibility that if he was mu'ad for the left horn, he would automatically be mu'ad for the right horn. Tosfos raises that possibility and says, or maybe not. Or maybe each horn is independent by a shore. We don't say there's a better horn. Right, we'll stop over here.